Good afternoon, folks. It's that time of the day again. Time for the Elephant in the Room here on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. This is your host, Sam DeMarco. And as usual, I'm here with the Robin to my Batman, John Schneider, Best Executive Director in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Sam.
And our producer, Dazzling Dandy, Daryl Grandy. Guys, what do you have to say to our listeners this beautiful Saturday here in Allegheny County?
Excited to be here. Very excited to be here, have you here, and have our guest here.
We're going to get to our guest in a minute. Folks, do we have a great show for you today? We will be appearing on our show here. Will be our candidate for Attorney General here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Dave Sunday. But before we get to Dave, got a couple of things, sort of, I guess, housekeeping. Let's just clean up. Folks, this past week, we have been entertained. And that's certainly a stretch to use that term, right? But by the antics at the Democrat National Convention. I mean, you know, Joe Biden, they put him on at like midnight, you know, Monday night, all right? So that no one on the East Coast would hear or see him as he tried to do his Dark Brandon impersonation, you know, and come out and rant and, you know, complain about former President Trump and everything else and talk about how the world is going to hell in a handbasket, but seems to forget that he and Kamala Harris have been in the White House for the last 3.5 years. We had Tuesday night. I mean, it continued with these nuts, okay? On Wednesday night, you had a number of folks. You had Governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro. He came out, and Josh, I don't know. Josh is a very talented orator and giver of speeches. Also, he's a master in the art of self-promotion, not so much actually accomplishments, but he came out on Wednesday night and he was trying to do his best Barack Obama impersonation. You know, so he walked his little diminutive self up to the podium, you know, and then he took and started to yell out at the audience. And one of the things I was waiting for was I was waiting to hear, what are all these rights and freedoms that he claims that President Trump and the Republicans are trying to take away? And I didn't hear any. You know, he just talked about we're trying to take rights and freedoms. He talked about banning books. No one here is trying to ban any books. He talked about the freedom to love who you choose to love. Well, we're not trying to do any of that. So, you know, again, Governor Shapiro brought his straw man to the DNC National Convention and gave his speech. And then we heard from Governor Waltz, you know, the vice president, a pick of Kamala Harris. And, you know, folks, as I'm a veteran, you know, I believe that we should never denigrate another man's service. So to be clear, no one is taking and knocking, you know, Tim Waltz's service in the Minnesota National Guard. But this guy has lied about everything. He's lied about his rank. He's a retired master sergeant. And even after the brouhaha that's been taking place in the last 2 weeks via the media, last night at the convention, they still take and introduce him as a retired command sergeant major, which is not the position or the rank he retired at. He talked about taking and having carried a weapon of war in war. He never, never was in a combat zone. The closest he ever came was Italy, okay? And the last time I checked, maybe the closest he ever came was the streets of Minneapolis while he was governor. And for the 4 nights he allowed that place to burn down. He lied about being a head football coach. He was an assistant coach. He lied about how his children were conceived. I mean, this is a guy that doesn't seem capable of telling the truth. But yet, Democrats were in awe, genuflecting before him, and touting him as a coach dad. Well, I don't know where that's going to sell. It's not going to sell here in Western Pennsylvania. Hopefully, it's not going to sell in Pennsylvania at all or across this nation. So that brought us to Thursday night, where you're going to have Kamala Harris came out and gave her speech. Thank God that's all over. So, folks, I'm hoping that we've reached the nadir of their support from a polling perspective or from the betting odds here. And that now the media will start to actually do their job in sort of acting as a wing of the Democrat Party by taking and covering for them. Because her crazy, far left, lunatic policies absolutely need to be discussed and uncovered so that the voters have the ability to make an informed choice. So, folks, that has brought you up to date to where we are now. We are approximately 71 days away from the election, and it's going to be, it's going to be close, folks. So we're going to need everybody out there doing everything they possibly can to help get our candidates from president to U.S. senator to our row office candidates like Dave Sunday, who you'll hear from shortly, Stacey Garrity and Tim DeFore across the finish line, as well as take back seats in Congress, like here in the 17th Congressional District, where Rob McCurry absolutely needs to defeat arrogant Chris DeLuzio. And we have James Hayes running in the 12th Congressional District against the anti-Semitic Summer Lee. And then we also have, you know, our state Senate and state House candidates. So, folks, we need your help. We need you to volunteer. You know, sign up at our website at Allegheny.gop. That's Allegheny.gop. You can call the office at 412-458-0068. We can use your help to reach out to voters and to convince them that this most important election of their lifetimes is something worth fighting for. So, John, I am glad I got that off my chest, my friend.
I was going to say, we should have brought up the fiasco at Primanti Brothers on Sunday.
Folks, anyone that follows me on social media knows I'd love to. My relaxation comes from like just sitting there and scrolling like at night. I'll be sitting on the couch with the dogs around, just scrolling on X, you know, just checking out what's going on and see what's happening. But on Sunday, last Sunday, the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they touted that they were coming in to do a bus tour of Western Pennsylvania before they went to the convention. Folks, they were on ground. They were only on the ground for not like 6 hours, right? They show up at the airport. They land at like 1:15. They go out to the Democrat headquarters in Beaver County, and Beaver is red, and it's getting redder. But they go to the Democrat headquarters in Beaver County, stop at a firehouse. They go visit high school football team during practice. Again, this is Sunday, you know, and then they come back and stop at a Sheetz. Now, I don't know how many of you folks know, but the Biden administration is actually suing Sheetz because they're not happy that Sheetz asks about your prior history, if you've been a convicted felon or things like that, before they want to let you in the store to handle money as an employee, right? So they're actually suing them, but they stop at Sheetz, in which you have like half a dozen people try to find her a bag of Doritos. Then they head up to Primanti's. But here's what was great about that. They go to Primanti's, but at 4 o'clock, the folks at Primanti's chased all of the regular customers out of the facility. You know, we had one of our friends was in there sitting at the bar watching the Pirates game. At 3:30, the bartender calls last call. Last call. He's like, wait, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm here watching the game. No, we're closing at 4 o'clock. We have a private event coming in. So he said, who? Well, she didn't know, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the bartender ends up closing. They start shutting off all the televisions, you know, just turning off the lights, telling folks they have to leave. So they chase him out. And what's happening is the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz bus tour is showing up at Primanti's. And that's cool. But they brought in their own customers. So they brought in, there was like 20 vans, white vans, where they had folks in there. Now, whether they're supporters, whether some of them are members of the media, or whether some of them were actors. But you have all these folks dressed up in suits and things like that, going into Primanti's and sitting down and pretending like they're these customers as Kamala Harris and Tim Walz make the rounds. So it's entirely scripted. But anyway, I was sent some video of that from some Trump supporters that were outside. I posted it on X, and unbelievable. I mean, I've never had anything like it. Someone like Scott Pressler, that's an everyday occurrence. But my post, I mean, went viral. I mean, it had like 8,000 likes. I had like 5,000 people reposting it. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible. But it shows what a farce their campaign is. So they got done with that. then right back to the airport, and back on the plane they flew to Chicago. So less than 6 hours they were on. So if that's what they consider a bus tour, what do you think their thoughts are about policies that would affect or help the American people? Hey, time to say no to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Time to get on board the Trump train and get on board the train for all of our candidates. So we can use your help. We need it. And folks, if you're tired of your grocery prices being 30% higher than they were just 3.5 years ago, if you're tired of gas costing you 51% more than it did just a couple years ago, if your kids or grandkids can't afford to buy a house because mortgage rates are almost 3 times the rate they were 3.5 years ago, if you have family members serving in the military and you're concerned about their safety as you see the world on fire and war across the globe, time to get on board the Trump train. So folks, listen, 71 days to go. I know I'm doing everything that I possibly can. I need you to do everything that you possibly can. This is the most important election of our lifetimes. There's no doubt about it. So from President Trump and J.D. Vance to Dave McCormick and on down, guys, let's bring this thing home. So, hey, I got that all off my chest. So now let's introduce our guest. Today we are very pleased to welcome Dave Sunday. Now, Dave is running for Pennsylvania Attorney General, and he's been on our show before, but he's back in Allegheny County again as he's taking the campaign. And I know he's working his rear end off, hitting every county in this state. Now, Dave is a Navy veteran. He was deployed to the Persian Gulf, where he participated in Operation Desert Strike. Dave also graduated from Penn State University back in 2002. So he's much younger than me, and I'm envious, with a degree in finance. So he understands money. He earned his law degree in 2007 from Widener Law School. And while attending law school, he was a legal intern to the United Nations Office of the Secretariat of New York City and served in the Department of Peacekeeping Operations. So Dave brings a perspective to his run for office that his opponent and many others just can't match. In 2013, Dave was appointed by the United States Department of Justice as a Special Assistant United States Attorney for the Middle District of Pennsylvania. He assisted in the prosecution of gang, illegal firearms, and drug-related cases in federal court. He also led the prosecution team on Operation Sunrise, which was the major multi-jurisdictional operation against over 100 members and affiliates of the Latin Kings, a major violent criminal gang operating in York County. Now, after that, Dave was then appointed to the Pennsylvania Commission on Sentencing in January 2020 by then Speaker of the House Mike Terzai, and later reappointed by Speaker Brian Cutler. Dave serves on this commission with other representatives, including members of the PA Judiciary, the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, the Pennsylvania State Senate, several law professors, and a criminal defense attorney. Additionally, Dave serves on the American Conservative Union's Prosecutor Advisory Board and has spoken across the country on effective public safety initiatives. We'll hear more about those today, and has also served as the York County District Attorney since 2017. Dave has been awarded the Elected Official of the Year Award in York County in 2019 and Cooperative Law Enforcement Award in 2020 from the U.S. Department of Justice. Now, folks, you hear me say all that. That just gives you just a glimpse of what an incredibly well-qualified candidate we have running for the office of Attorney General here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Dave Sunday, welcome to the show.
Sam, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for that introduction, and I'm just happy to be here in Allegheny County.
Well, we're happy to see you, my friend. Yeah. And, you know, like, hey, I don't have to tell you how important Allegheny County is to our statewide efforts here. More Republicans in this county than anywhere else in the state, okay? And we need to get these folks energized. We need to get them out to vote. And I know they're excited and they want to come out to vote. They want to vote for you. So tell us a little bit about the campaign, how it's going, and your thoughts.
Sure, absolutely, Sam. Like I said, it's an honor to be here. I love being in Allegheny County. I don't know if you know this or not, but my mom actually lived in Murraysville for like 6 or 7 years. I don't know if we ever talked about that. Yeah. So I think Pennsylvania is such a beautiful state. I've really, you know, enjoyed my time traveling all around it, and I love being here. So just by way of background, you know, it is my belief, Sam, and I feel very strongly about this, that if our community is not safe, nothing else matters. And so when we hear about, you know, different positions people take, you've talked about the DNC this past week. And I can tell you, you know, from a career as a prosecutor, that I know that if we can't increase public safety and keep citizens safe, there's no policy that exists that could really ever work, because that's the foundation for our community. So my son, I have a son who's going into fourth grade, and yesterday was his first day of fourth grade. And I know that, you know, I watched him leave for the day, and I had a, you know, feeling in a pit of my stomach. And as a prosecutor, I can tell you that that feeling is 24/7. It never goes away. Like most parents, you see your kid go away to school in that first day and you feel a little nervous for them and you want them to do well and succeed and be happy and healthy. But through my career, Sam, I have had the opportunity in a way, and I hate to say this, but to see behind the curtain on a lot of the dangers that we face as a society. Everything from fentanyl and the drugs that are just flowing into our communities through, and we've talked about this before, the lack of resources for people that are in mental health crises. When you look at gang violence that's happening, and really even things that are so far out of what normal parents even think about on the internet, with the advent of AI, of artificial intelligence, how that's impacted the criminal element. When we look at, you know, every kid today, Sam, lives on social media. They're online all the time. They're online through their gaming systems, through their phones, through their computers, through their tablets. And unfortunately, we live in a world where a lot of parents who, you know, they go to work every day, they get up in the morning, they do it, they work really hard for the family, they come home. A lot of parents don't have the time to really stay on top of the technology that exists that kids are dealing with. And so, unfortunately, I have seen the dangers that come off of things like the dark web. I've seen the very dangerous world that exists on social media and on the internet, where you have child predators who now have an entire world available to them that they would have never had prior to where we are now with social media, and with the way that social media is being driven through different algorithms and things of that nature. So, Sam, I can tell you right now that I love being the elected DA. I love being a prosecutor. I'm going into my 17th year in York. And the reality is I'm running for attorney general because I know that if we can't protect our children, our families, the senior citizens in our communities, then we're not fulfilling our core function of government. And I feel very strongly about this. And that's why I'm out here fighting and doing everything I can to keep people safe.
Well, we're blessed to have a candidate of your qualifications and your stature running here, Dave. And you know, you and I have become friends over the last couple of years as you started on this journey. And I think a lot of our folks may not quite understand some of the things that you deal with or have dealt with.
Sure.
The entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is suffering from the scourge of fentanyl, now xylazine, you know, opioids. We lose over 5,000 folks, Pennsylvania citizens, every year to overdose. You know, 4,000 of them are fentanyl, okay? But in York County, you are like almost like a ground zero because of where your county is situated here within the Commonwealth. So much of this drug trade comes up from like Baltimore to you. So
yes,
it's not just the drug trade, but also the gangs. You were talking about, we referred to the crackdown on the Latin Kings. Mm-hmm. You want to tell folks a little bit about that so they understand the extent of what you deal with.
I appreciate that, Sam. And so by way of background, for those that aren't familiar with York County, York County is directly north of Baltimore. And so from southern York County, you can get down to inner city Baltimore within maybe 25, 30 minutes. Baltimore is the heroin capital of the United States. That's well documented. And unfortunately, there's an open air drug market, and citizens from Pennsylvania, from York County, can go down there. Mm-hmm. They can buy their drugs. They can come right back up and sell them in our communities. And so when I first started in the office as a prosecutor, I had no idea that crime, or I had no idea that drugs of this nature and this powerful were just devastating our communities. And so back in, it would have been 2015, I believe, overdose deaths tripled in York County. And you have to remember, Sam, this was before all the lawsuits. This is before all the media stories. This is when that was sort of bubbling below the surface. And we recognized very quickly, because, you know, I want your listeners to understand this is really important. The Attorney General by law is Pennsylvania's top prosecutor. The Attorney General, it's in the statute, shall be the state's chief law enforcement officer. And so when we're running for that job, it is absolutely critical that the person running has the experience to actually do that job. And when we're talking about these issues today, Sam, that are really impacting our community, you know, I'm bringing that to you through the lens of the courtroom. I'm bringing it to you through the lens of a guy that's been involved in really complex criminal investigations, complex criminal jury trials, through the experience of setting up, starting, and running an investigative grand jury, and everything that comes with all of that. And so, to begin with, when our overdose death rate tripled, the DA at the time assigned me to work with our county coroner to really do an investigation, take a dive into it, and see how serious this is. My God, Sam, I learned within months that this was not only serious, but it was decimating families all throughout central Pennsylvania, and in particular, York County being directly north of Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And so going back to government, so when you talk about your government servants, right, you're talking about the people that are running for office. What is our function of government? So I played basketball when I was in high school. I'm not sure. I believe, Sam, you may have played football is my understanding.
A bit, yes.
And so I played basketball, and you know, our coach always said that you have to learn how to do how to bounce pass before you can slam dunk, right? And so we look around at a lot of our government officials, and they're trying to do all these things that aren't related to the absolute core competency, essentially, Sam, the bounce passes. And so we looked at this issue. We're like, you know what? This is decimating our county. It's driving crime. It's impacting taxpayers. It's impacting kids in school. What are we going to do about it? And so first of all, we attacked, we full on attack on the supply side of this. And so we put together so many every resource humanly possible. We went after the drug traffickers. We went after the drug dealers. We identified who they were, and we did everything we could to arrest them, to prosecute them, and to put them in a place where they wouldn't continue to harm society. At the same time, Sam, we recognize that there's tons of people that are in the throes of addiction that need help. They need help. And so we did everything we could to get naloxone in the hands of police officers. Mm-hmm. We did everything we could to find places for people to go so they could get treatment. We did everything we could to go into schools and educate children so that they wouldn't turn to drugs in the first place. I mean, this was a all hands on deck. And I was in the Navy, so I have a lot of Navy expressions. I mean, but this was an all hands on deck attack. Mm-hmm. And so we attacked the demand through helping people get into treatment, which is unbelievably critical. And we attacked the supply through our law enforcement resources, collaborating with, you know, our local police, with the state police, with all of our federal partners. And so through all of that, Sam, we were able to create this whole environment where our overdose death rate has actually gone down 26% in York County. And that's important because it's gone up 15% around the rest of the state. And so when we look at this issue of drugs, I cannot be more serious about this. 15 people die every day from overdoses in Pennsylvania. And this is an immediate threat to our community. When we were kids, if you made a mistake, you might not feel well for a day.
Right.
In today's world, you know, the margin of error for children is so thin that if they make a mistake, they could overdose. And unfortunately, we've seen situations where children overdose and they die. That's why I take this as seriously as I do. That's why I'm running for attorney general, is to do everything I can to help our community be safe. That is the mission for me. And that's what drives me in this campaign.
Well, folks, that is important. As you're hearing here, Dave, that's unbelievable, those statistics or those metrics, where, you know, you look at going up elsewhere in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but going down where you're at in York County. That shows that what you folks are doing is working.
It's working, but it's also, this is an unbelievably difficult journey to help our community with addiction. And what makes it extra hard, Sam, is the fact that the drugs, they're flowing in, okay, from over the border in Mexico. They are flowing into our community. It's unbelievably cheap for people to buy them. You know, when you look at the drug, people don't like to deal with this. A lot of people don't want to have to deal with this. And the reason for that, Sam, is because it's so complex and so hard, okay? It doesn't fit in the political cycle. You can't just say, I'm going to pass a bill, and now all of a sudden we fixed the drug epidemic. That's not how this works. This is a lifelong commitment that public servants have to do to be able to impact this epidemic. And that's something that I committed to doing a long time ago as a prosecutor, now as a DA, and I'm making that same commitment to the citizens of Pennsylvania, that I will do everything in my power to fight to keep their children safe. And I mean, this is a very serious thing, Sam. And, you know, I'm also the eternal optimist. And I feel like when we work together as a team, as a community, when we leave, you know, your political parties aside and you focus on actual outcomes for the community, mm-hmm. I feel like magic happens. And I really feel like we can get this done.
I couldn't agree more. And Dave, I want to talk to you more about this and other things right after the break. Folks, we'll be right back after the break here on The Elephant in the Room in WJAS 1320 AM and Talk 99.1 FM. Welcome back, folks, to The Elephant in the Room here. This is your host, Sam DeMarco. We're here in studio with candidate for Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Dave Sunday. And Dave, we were just talking a little bit in the last segment here. We were talking about the drug trade. We were talking about the work that you folks have done in your county and the tremendous progress you've made. Now, you've also done some tremendous things with diversionary courts and also with a program that you have for inmates who have paid their debt to society in a reentering society where you help assist them in finding jobs and what that's been able to do to cut the recidivism rate significantly. You want to tell our listeners
absolutely, a little bit Sam. About that? Now, I just want to cover one thing real quick from our previous conversation, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
When we talk about the drug addiction and fentanyl and everything that comes with that, you know, a lot of people, I can tell you right now, in my campaigning across Pennsylvania, every time I talk about this issue when I'm done, there's always, you can see one or two people kind of waiting by the door for me. And when I walk out into the parking lot, I have people come up to me literally almost every single time I speak anywhere. And they share with me that they had a cousin, a son or a daughter, a loved one, a brother, you know, a sibling that died of a drug overdose. And I think it's important to say that because a lot of people out there, Sam, suffer with this and their relatives suffer with it. And they don't want to share with people that they're going through this. There's still a huge stigma. People still have, you know, feelings about that. And it's important for people out there, your listeners, to recognize that this is something that has impacted all of society. And it's important for us to come together as a society to attack this. When you look at drug overdoses and you look at the drug trafficking, you know, Sam, one of the things that this also impacts when you fix it is the economy. I know that when you look at the economy, when you look at business development, you know, there's a foundation to everything we do in the world around us. And that foundation is really rests upon law and order. Okay. So when you have an entire society, not entire society, but when you have a lot of people in the workforce that suffer from addiction, that might be high on the job, that might be, you know, intoxicated while they're driving, you know, they're causing workplace injuries. These same people are crashing on the roadways. You know, we estimate that over half of the DUIs in Pennsylvania are most likely drug DUIs or drug and alcohol combined. Mm. When you look at the impact of this on their children, okay, we have children. I have seen these cases where young children, like 3, 4, 5 years of age, have seen their parents overdose. I mean, these children aren't being taken care of. They're being set up that their lives are going to be unbelievably difficult. We have people that are going into their golden years that started using 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that are now overdosing because the drugs have become more and more strong, okay? Like now that we're dealing with fentanyl. When you look at our children, they're going off to college, they're in school. You know, we're finding fentanyl not just in the form by itself, like powder fentanyl, we're finding it in pressed pills that kids are doing, that people are just making their own pills. They're buying this stuff, Sam, off the dark web. They're making these pills. They go out everywhere. Kids could be at college parties, at high school parties. And, you know, back in the day, there might be a keg in the corner, right? In today's world, a lot of times these are pill parties and people are throwing pills out all over the place. Oh my gosh. I only say this, Sam, because people need to recognize the far-reaching implications of not hitting this head-on not only from a treatment perspective, but from a law enforcement perspective as well. You know, when you have close to 70% probably of all the crime in Pennsylvania being either directly or tangentially related to drug abuse, you know, you can throw mental health in there as well. You're looking at a society of people that those are the people that are committing crimes. These are people that, you know, aren't paying their child support, people that aren't paying taxes. It is a tremendous impact on taxpayers having to constantly foot the bill for these individuals that are going in and out of prison nonstop. And so that's, I think, a segue to one of the things you discussed earlier about the work we do on reentrance. Mm-hmm. And so, as you know or may not know, so when I was a young man, so when I was in high school,
you're still a young man.
Well, I mean,
like myself.
I turned 49 in June, so I'm 49. Oh. You know, so I'm but when I was a younger man, when I was in high school, you know, I'm not one of those people who knew what they wanted to do. I really kind of just had no idea what the future would hold for me, and so I just went and joined the Navy. I was a young man. I was enlisted. I was on a ship. I swabbed decks for any sailors out there that know what that means listening to the show. I swabbed decks. I chipped paint. I was an enlisted guy, you know, and I loved it. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but I loved every minute of it. Well, when I got home from the Navy, like a lot of people, when they come home from overseas, they come home from the military. I didn't have a college degree yet. And so I, like a lot of people, went in the back of the phone book. You remember phone books, right?
Oh, yeah.
And in the back, they had those crazy things called the yellow pages. And so I went back in the yellow pages and to look for a job. And UPS was hiring. So I went down to the UPS on 19th and Paxton Street in Harrisburg. And I just got a job in the Harrisburg hub. And I started working in there. And I ended up working there all through college. So I was at UPS every night, all through college, all 4 years, and then I worked at UPS during the day while I went to law school at night. So in my role right now, and this goes back to what we said earlier about how, you know, your background, your experience, how that really lends itself to your decision-making process as a leader, right? When I look back on that, when I was at UPS, I worked with not everyone, but some people that may have been on probation, that were on work release, that had committed crimes in their life, that had did their time, they were held accountable, and they're changing, they're working so hard to change their lives. And I didn't recognize it when I was younger, but when I was at UPS, I realized very quickly and through the military that one of the most powerful things is when a person realizes, Sam, that they have the power within themselves to change their lives. And a lot of times that comes from having a job and working in a career. And you should see like the feeling of self-worth that you see in people when that happens. And I never forgot that. So when I watched as a prosecutor all these years, all these people coming out of prison, okay, 95% of everyone that goes in is coming back out. These are your future coworkers, your neighbors, they might go to church with you. You know, these are people that we want to be successful. I want them to take care of their families and not commit more crimes. Well, the number one predictor if someone goes back in prison is whether or not they have a job, more importantly, a career. And so we collectively as a community, and these are Republicans, Democrats, independents, people that probably aren't even registered to vote, they all came together and we decided we're going to do something about this. And we created this huge, robust reentry coalition where I remembered about working. So I went to the manufacturers in the community, business owners, I went to the Manufacturers Association, and we created an entire network of people that are giving people jobs when they get out of jail, to the point where we actually now have a physical space in our prison. It's called the Reentry Opportunity Center, where people, before they are released, after they've held their... Now, Sam, this is important, because this is after they've been held accountable. This isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. This is after you've right. done your time. We've set this up where people can start doing job interviews. They can start moving into, you know, different type of services they may need. But more importantly, it sets them up to get a job. Because I think that a working community is one of the most important things that we could possibly do for our society to make it safer.
Now, that's phenomenal. Because again, you're giving these folks, you know, you're helping connect them to society mm-hmm. as opposed to leaving it up to them. And many times when they come out of jail or mm-hmm. prison, they sort of feel like that they don't fit in. You're
right,
helping
exactly.
a system. You're helping a system in that. Yep. And I think that's big.
It is.
That's what we want, is we want yep. people. You know, that's why we call it rehabilitation.
It is. I mean, my philosophy is accountability and redemption. You have to hold people accountable. But at the same time, as a society, I think it's important that we embrace redemption, Sam. And for these people that have done their time, we should embrace redemption. And now they have to do the work. No one can do it for them. But you want to give them that opportunity. You know, we have so many open manufacturing jobs in Pennsylvania. There's a lot of people looking for employees. And I think that it's just a win-win across the board. You know, when you look at crime trends, well, actually, when I first started in the York DA's office, I think we were third in the state for the amount of criminal cases. I think it went, if I recall, Philadelphia, Allegheny County, and then York. And now, I mean, we're way, way less than that. Our crime has gone down 41% since the 10-year high.
Wow.
And what's even better about that is we have also decreased our homicide rate by 75% from the course of 2022 to 23. And this year, it's even lower. We've lowered our gang violence rate by 80% during that same time period. And the way that this is done, Sam, it has to be an all hands on deck community effort. But prosecutors, and again, as a career prosecutor who's running to be the chief prosecutor, mm-hmm. prosecutors have to know how to do their job, and they've got to hold people accountable. And sometimes, you know, Sam, you can't win every battle. You can't win every trial. But what you can do is you can fight as hard as possible, and you can do your best every single time and make sure that the community knows that you're putting everything into their lives and into the safety of their families.
Folks, you're listening to Dave Sunday, York County District Attorney and candidate for Attorney General here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Now, Dave, let's talk a little bit about your opponent.
Sure.
I mean, I don't want to give him a lot of airtime, but what I would like to do is maybe highlight the things that you possess mm-hmm. that separate you from your opponent. So, I mean, we've just talked about your experience. He has never been a prosecutor, has he?
No, he's never been a prosecutor, Sam. And that is unbelievably important. In Pennsylvania, there's probably close to 500 prosecutors right now. And that includes assistant DAs. That includes DAs. That includes deputy attorney generals and everything in between. And every single one of the prosecutors in Pennsylvania has more experience prosecuting than my opponent. Literally every single one, because he's never been a prosecutor. And I say that solely because when you're running to be the chief law enforcement officer and you're in that position where you're directing investigations, where you're making decisions about what's appealed, when you're making decisions about how to proceed with your resources, when you're looking at these big drug cases and these big organized crime cases, and you're looking at everything that comes in between, if you don't have those years as a prosecutor. So I've spent a lot of my time in a courtroom, Sam, where I have prosecuted first-degree murder jury trials. Okay, I've prosecuted death penalty cases. I've prosecuted people that have attempted to kill police officers, where they literally pointed guns at cops and repeatedly pulled the trigger trying to end their lives. I've prosecuted those cases. I've prosecuted cases of elder abuse and fraud. I've prosecuted cases that involved arson. I've prosecuted large embezzlement cases. And because of that experience, on day one, I will know exactly where to go in solving these problems. So we have a District Attorney Association in Pennsylvania. I'm on the executive board of the DA's Association. I work with the elected DAs all throughout Pennsylvania, most of them. And I work with them as colleagues. I'm actually the chair of our education and training committee with the DA's Association. Mm-hmm. I'm on the executive board where we work with criminal justice policy. And so my point very simply is, you know, if you're running to be a legislator, there are certain skill sets. If you're running to be an accountant, those are certain skill sets, right? If you're running to be a prosecutor, the chief law enforcement officer, that is a very, very specific skill set that requires someone who knows what they're doing to get the job done.
No, absolutely. And, you know, when I think about your opponent, he seems to be like a perennial candidate. I mean, first he served in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives from 2007 to 2013. Then he became an Auditor General, where he served until 2020. Then he went and ran for Congress. Now he's running for Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, to me, this doesn't seem to be someone who knows what he wants to do, knows who he wants to help, but more someone that's looking for a taxpayer-funded paycheck.
It's almost, I was just thinking about this while you were saying that, it's almost like a tale of two lawyers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all make our decisions with what we want to do professionally, and we make commitments. When I took my oath in the United States military, I made a commitment. When I became a prosecutor out of law school, I made a commitment. Same thing when I was elected district attorney. And same thing when I was sworn in as a special assistant United States attorney. And God willing, I win and I'm next to Pennsylvania Attorney General, I'll make that same commitment. You know, and when we think about commitment, Sam, you're making a decision as to what where your time is spent and the battles that you have to fight. And the decision I made was to go into being a prosecutor, working in a DA's office, you know, being in a position where I could fight against unbelievably violent people because I cared about that profession. It was important to mm-hmm. me. And I've always been that way, always been that way. You know, and I'm not saying anything disparaging about my opponent. I'm just saying very simply
right.
that the decision was made on his part to take the road of politics. And he's traveled that road of politics throughout the entirety of his career. And that road of politics, for some people, that's important. And there are certain jobs where that is something where that, I guess, is valued. But when we're looking at this very unique position of being the attorney general, do you want your attorney general, when they are stressed, when they have limited resources, when they are making tough decisions, knowing that the community may either like it or not like it, do you want those decisions made through the lens of what is best for the victims and for the community? Or do you want that decision made through the lens of politics? And I promise you that you do not want that decision made through the lens of politics. You want that decision made by someone who literally has stared at juries and ask juries to return verdicts, putting people in prison. That's what you want because they know how serious it is. I know what that's like, Sam, and I know how serious it is. I know how when you charge someone with a crime, the impact on them, even if you withdraw the charges, you ruin that person in a lot of ways for life. These are very serious decisions. I know what it's like to sit with parents whose children have died of overdoses over and over again and over again, forever, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. You know, our prisons are filled with people that have severe mental health issues. You know, we've done the work. I've partnered with our hospital, Wellspan. We've set up a clinic for people to go get outpatient mental health assessments. All of this because these are things that I discovered and saw through the course of my career in a courtroom seeing the end result. You know, when you look at what comes to a prosecutor, Sam, this is like a lagging indicator of societal issues, okay? And so when you're in there and you're in that office and you're working with police every day, which is why I was endorsed by the State Fraternal Order of Police, which is why I was endorsed by the Pennsylvania State Troopers Association and the Sheriff's Association PAC. This is very important. And when I think about my family and their safety as a constituent, as a citizen, I want the chief law enforcement officer to be someone that has actually done the job.
Well, this is refreshing to hear, Dave, because it's been many years since we had an attorney general that was focused on the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I mean, before our current attorney general, Michelle Henry, you know, was appointed, Josh Shapiro spent more time, you know, making political statements by suing, you know, the Trump administration or joining into lawsuits and things of that nature, and less time about trying to protect the children, you know, in this Commonwealth, whether it be from the scourge of fentanyl and other drugs, whether it be from child sex trafficking, whether it be from some of these other things. And, you know, we've talked, I mean, protecting children is big on your agenda because I know you have a young son,
mm-hmm.
as well as protecting seniors. I know that you Absolutely. Guys have done a tremendous amount of work with elder
yep.
care.
Oh, yeah. We started an elder abuse task force. I mean, I work, you know, I have personally presented in AARP scam jams. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, Sam, if you yourself have ever attended one. Not yet. I've presented all throughout York County with regard to senior scams and to help people. And this is really important. So when you look at the AG's office, you have the AG is the chief prosecutor for Pennsylvania. The AG also controls consumer protection. Okay, there's a whole consumer protection unit. And when we talk and we look at our senior citizens deserve to have that unit dedicated to helping prevent them from becoming victims. The average amount of money stolen from a senior citizen during a scam, when a scam happens, is around $38,000.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell
you
what.
That's like life savings for
Sam, I'm telling you, if someone stole $38,000 from me, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And so we've got to focus, hyper-focus on that. Another job of the Attorney General is, and this is by statute, it says the Attorney General shall defend the constitutionality of statutes in Pennsylvania unless and until a court of competent jurisdiction, the Supreme Court, whatever it may be, determines that that statute is not constitutional anymore. And so that's another role of the Attorney General's office. There are units in the AG's office. There's a child predator unit, criminal prosecution unit, corrupt organizations, public corruption. You have a lot of jobs in there that are jobs that solely tie to the work of prosecutors.
And this is why that office cannot be political. I mean, back in 2020, the Attorney General's office basically stopped defending the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in the lawsuits that were placed by Mark Elias and these Democrat, I don't know what you'd call them, but these law firms that were out there looking to weaken the safeguards on our ballot security.
You know,
and that's why the Supreme Court was able to take and put in place things like drop boxes, which were not in the law.
I'm glad you brought that up, yes. Sam. Well, just the topic, I want to say quickly, I'm not sure how much time we have left here, but I want to make sure people understand and your listeners understand that when it comes to a district attorney, an attorney general, any prosecutor, politics must be left outside of the office. It has to be. I'm running for attorney general to make sure that we have an even playing field for everybody, be it a large business, a small business, be it workers or labor. We need an even playing field. And what happens, Sam, is when you have prosecutors, okay, when you have attorney generals who decide whether or not a law is enforceable based on their own personal political preference, what that does, it sends a signal to the community of confusion, okay? The way it works, and a lot of people forget this, is our legislature creates the laws. The laws are created by our legislature. It's signed into law by the governor, the attorney general, okay, and our district attorneys. Their job is to follow and enforce the law as passed by the legislature. That's how this works. And when prosecutors start going off the reservation and just sort of like saying, hey, you know, I don't feel like this is right, I'm going to ignore this, you know, it really messes up our community. And the reason for that is because as a citizen, you want to know what the rules of the game are. You want to know what's expected of you. You want to know that if you do a certain thing, it will or won't result in a crime. That's what every citizen, Sam, I have heard this from across Pennsylvania, Republicans and Democrats, and everyone in between. I have heard people tell me repeatedly, they're like, we just want to know what's expected of us and we want it to be fair, okay? And when you're an AG or you're a prosecutor and you start, you know, bringing the political spectrum in there, whether you like the law or not, whether you like it or not, you are sowing confusion throughout the entire community. If a law isn't liked, okay, that's what your legislators are for. That's where you go to your legislators. You go to your state rep, your state senator. But once prosecutors violate the separation of powers and walk over there and start deviating from their job, Sam, that's when really bad things happen. I think that we need to get back to basics. We need to leave politics out of it completely. The citizenry needs to know what's expected of them in their life. And we just need to do it being thoughtful, have empathy. And again, going back to it, we need to enforce our criminal laws in a way that keeps our citizenry safe so that we have a thriving, healthy, and happy community.
Folks, you're listening to York County District Attorney Dave Sunday here. Now, Dave, before we go, I want to make sure if our listeners who are listening to you say, hey, this is the kind of guy I want to support, how do they go about helping you?
They can go to davesundayforag.com. They can look at my website, reach out to the campaign. They can reach out right here to the Allegheny County Republican Committee. and reach out to you. And reach out. I'm not sure if you want them to reach out to you directly or not, Sam, but they can reach out and
well,
say,
I get plenty of people to reach out to
and
me.
And say, hey, you know, I want to volunteer. Like, I want to help this guy out.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Well, do you want to spell the website off for folks? So it's DaveSundayForAG.com.
Dave, D-A-V-E, Sunday, like the day of the week, S-U-N-D-A-Y, DaveSundayForAG.com.
Yeah, I want you to spell it out because so many candidates today are trying to be cute. And when you get to four, they just put the numeral four.
You know, it's funny. When I ran for DA the first time, my wife made some T-shirts that said, on Tuesday, vote Sunday. And when she did that, I was like, oh, no, don't do that. That's, you know.
Yeah.
But guess what? People loved it.
Yes.
Now, I'm not advising that we do that again. I'm just saying that, you know. It's people don't. I mean, it's Sunday. It's a day. It's like a day of the week. You know?
Well, listen. I'll take a triple extra large.
Yeah, okay. Triple extra large. All right, we'll put the order in for you.
Vote Sunday on Tuesday, folks. As always, when we get started talking here, you know, we get rolling and run out of time. But Dave, I want to thank you for joining us on the show. I really appreciate you coming here in studio in Allegheny County.
It's great to be here.
You know,
Sam.
You're campaigning here.
Yep.
To talk directly to our listeners and let them know why they should be working to support you for Attorney General, and a little bit about what they would be getting if we were to be successful in electing you.
This is great. I appreciate it, Sam. And just so you know, I'm the eternal optimist. I really feel like that brighter days are ahead for everybody. You know, I think that we live in the freest country in the world. We have more freedoms here and opportunities in America than anywhere else that exists. I think that there's so much that brings us together as a people, and I'm just beyond honored and blessed to even be in this situation. And, you know, God willing, I win. I would be completely honored to serve as the Attorney General. So thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it, my friend. Folks, until next week, this is your host, Sam DeMarco, signing off from the Elephant in the Room. Have a great weekend.